我想与大家一起考虑平安的概念。
But first, I would like to consider with you how Paul thinks about peace.
但是首先，我想和你们一起考虑保罗是怎么理解平安的。
In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul writes, For you were called to freedom, brethren, brothers and sisters. Only do not turn this freedom into an opportunity for the flesh.
在加拉太书五章十三节，保罗写道：弟兄们，你们蒙召是要得自由，只是不可将你们的自由当作放纵情欲的机会。
On the contrary, by means of love, keep on being slaves of one another.
总是要用爱心互相服侍。
Freedom is a key concept for Paul in Galatians, and he wants the Galatians to remain free from having to observe the commandments in the law of Moses.
自由是保罗在加拉太书的一个重要概念，他希望加拉太人保持自由，不是不得不遵守摩西律法的诫命。
However, he wants the Galatians not to turn this freedom into an opportunity for the flesh.
然而他警告加拉太人不要把这种自由变成放纵情欲的机会。
Instead of turning to, many translations has used.
不是求助于曾经所使用的许多翻译。
The problem is that Paul begins this command with the word only.
这里的问题是保罗开始这个命令使用了只有这个词。
Whenever Paul begins a sentence with only, he leaves out the verb.
每当保罗开始用只有作为一个句子开始，他总是省略了动词。
I believe that turn into is better than use.
我相信这种用词的方法更好。
The word opportunity in Greek refers to a military base of operation from which attacks on the enemy can be launched.
在希腊语中机会这个词是指操作用的军事基地，可以用来启动对敌人的攻击。
The flesh is a cosmic hostile force which wars against the Holy Spirit and Christian believers.
肉体是宇宙和敌对势力的概念，它是与圣灵和基督信徒征战。
Paul commands the Galatians to keep on being slaves of one another.
保罗命令加拉太人要用爱心彼此成为奴隶。
This is how they will prevent allowing their freedom to turn into an opportunity for the flesh.
这是他们将如何避免让他们的自由变成放纵情欲的机会。
The NIV following the King James Version of 1611 translates this as serve one another.
在随着1611年英王钦定版的圣经后，圣经新国际版翻译成为彼此互相服侍。
Although this translation is not wrong, it does seriously weaken the sense and the offense of Paul's choice of words, and they also obscure the paradox of being a slave in freedom.
虽然这个翻译没有错，但是它严重削弱了保罗的意思和冒犯了保罗的这个选词，而且掩盖了对成为自由奴隶的这个悖论。
Galatians 5:14 has For the whole law has been fulfilled by God in a single saying You will love your neighbor as yourself
在第十四节，因为全部律法都包在爱人如己这一句话之内了，你会爱你的邻舍如同爱自己。
The conjunction for indicates that Paul's previous command probably constitutes Paul's interpretation and application of Leviticus chapter 19 verse 18 to the Galatian situation before he has cited it in support.
连词 for 表示了保罗的前一个命令可能构成保罗对利未记十九章第十八节的解释和应用。
This explains why Galatians 14 appears to interrupt the flow of Paul's argument about the dangers of the flesh.
这解释了为什么十四节似乎打断了保罗有关情欲的危险的说法。
The argument continues in Galatians 5:15.
在第十五节，争论仍在继续。
When Paul refers to the law here and also in Galatians chapter 4 verse 21, he is not referring to the commandments of the Mosaic law, but to the Torah, the first five books.
当保罗指的律法在这里和在这个加拉太书四章二十一节，他不是指摩西律法的诫命，而是指摩西五经，也就是旧约的前五部书。
The Torah contains not only the commandments of the Mosaic law, but also the promises of God, especially the promises to Abraham.
摩西五经不仅包含了摩西律法的诫命，而且包括了神的应许，特别是神给亚伯拉罕的应许。
In Paul's view, the love for one another that results among those who have come to believe in Christ is also evidently another aspect of one and the same eschatological promise, or rather, of its fulfillment.
在保罗的观点看来，彼此相爱是来自于谁要开始相信耶稣基督，也是很明显的另一个方面和相同的末世论的承诺。
The Spirit is Christ, and this Spirit brings forth love as its singular fruit.
或者更确切的说，是他的实现，圣灵是基督的。圣灵带来了爱做他的唯一的果实。
In short, Paul cites Leviticus chapter 19 verse 18, not as a commandment of the Mosaic legal code, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
总之，保罗引用了利未记十九章十八节，不是作为摩西律法的一条诫命，就是你应当爱人爱邻如己，而是作为圣经律法的应许，你会爱人如己。这一说法已经在基督里实现了。
But as a promise of the scriptural law, you will love your neighbor as yourself, one that has now been found its fulfillment in Christ. Paul bases his interpretation on the Greek translation of Leviticus 19:18. You will love your neighbor as yourself.
保罗的解释是根据希腊文对利未记十九章十八节翻译来的。你会爱你的邻舍如同自己。
For Paul, Leviticus 19:18 is neither a reduction of the Mosaic law to only one commandment, nor an epitome of the Mosaic code, capturing its essence.
对于保罗来说，利未记十九章十八节既不是只是一个命令减少摩西律法，也不是摩西律法的一个缩影。他捕捉的是摩西律法的精髓。
It is a singular divine promise that has found its fulfillment in the coming of Christ and His Spirit.
这是一个奇异的神的应许，在基督和他的圣灵降临里找到了他的应验。
What Paul means to say to the Galatians in Galatians 5:14 is this: All that God promised in the scripture concerning Christ and His Spirit has become concrete, visible reality for us in the actualization of the one word of promise articulated in Leviticus 19:18, that a new creation, that in the new creation augured by Christ, you will truly love your neighbor as yourself.
保罗在加拉太书五章十四节中是这样告诉加拉太人的。因为全部律法都包在爱人如己这一句话里了。这句话在利未记十九章十八节被基督赋予了新的创造。你会真正爱你的邻舍如同自己。
Galatians 5:15-16 has, If, however, you keep on biting and tearing one another to pieces, watch out that you are not eaten up by one another.
在加拉太书十五章第十五节到第十六节，你们要谨慎，若相咬相吞，只怕要彼此消灭了。我说你们当顺着圣灵而行，就不放纵肉体的情欲了。
This is what I mean to say. Keep on living your daily lives guided by the Spirit, and you will never carry out the desires of flesh. In Galatians 5:15, Paul uses the imagery of a dogfight.
我说你们当顺着圣灵而行，就不放纵肉体的情欲了。在第十五节，保罗用了狗争斗的形象做比喻。
After raising the specter of mutually assured communal self-destruction in verse 15, Paul presents the God-given solution for the destructive power of the flesh, which is the Holy Spirit.
在第十五节，在相互确保社区自我毁灭的幽灵升起之后，保罗给出了上帝赋予的解决血肉情欲的破坏力的方案，这就是圣灵。
Just like the one in Galatians 5:13, the admonition in Galatians 5:16 does not take place in a vacuum, but in recognition of a powerful and lethal threat, that of the flesh, or as Paul now writes, the desire of the flesh.
就像在加拉太书五章第十三节和加拉太书五章十六节的训诫中所说，不会发生在真空中，但是承认一个强大的和致命的威胁，就是肉体。
The term desire suggests a strong and inordinate desire.
或者保罗现在写的肉体的欲望是欲望的意思，欲望这个词表明了强烈的或过度的欲望。
In short, the flesh is defined by this desire.
总之，肉体被欲望这个词定义。
In Galatians 19-21, Paul will give some illustrations of how the desire, concretely and destructively, manifests itself in human affairs.
在第十九节到二十一节当中，保罗列举出了一些词，表明欲望如何具体的和破坏性的体现在人类事物当中。
The expression "the desire of the flesh" seems to reflect the notion of the evil inclination, as found in Jewish and Jewish Christian tradition.
肉体的欲望这个表达方式似乎反映了邪恶的倾向，就像在犹太人和犹太基督教传统中所看到的。
Galatians 5:17 has, "For the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh."
第十七节写道，因为情欲和圣灵相争，圣灵和情欲相争，这两个是彼此相敌，使你们不能做所愿意做的。
Paul is here presenting a cosmic war between the flesh and the spirit.
保罗在这里提出了肉体与圣灵之间的宇宙的战争。
In Galatians 5:18, Paul writes a conditional sentence. If, however, you are being led by the power of the spirit, you are no longer under the authority of the law.
保罗在五章十八节写了一个条件句，你们若被圣灵引导，就不在律法以下了。
The concept of being led by the Spirit of God also appears in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, where it is part of a much longer discussion about living according to the Spirit rather than according to the flesh.
被圣灵引导的概念也出现在罗马书八章十四节当中，在那里是一个非常漫长的讨论，关于按照圣灵生活而不是按照肉体生活。
The central point of Galatians chapter 5 verses 16-18 is that the Spirit provides strong leadership and direction in a world that is described as an eschatological war zone.
第十六节到第十八节的中心点是圣灵提供了一个末世战区的世界强有力的领导和方向。
Galatians 19-21 has, "Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral purity, lack of sexual self-control, idolatry, witchcraft, hostile actions, strife, resentful jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish actions, dissensions, separating into the divisive factions, acts of malice, envy, bouts of drunkenness, and drunken orgies, and other things of the same sort, about which I'm warning you, just as I warned you before, Those people who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
在加拉太书五章十九到二十一节写道，情欲的事都是显而易见的，就如奸淫、污秽、邪荡、拜偶像、邪术、仇恨、争竞、记恨、恼怒、结党、纷争、异端、嫉妒、醉酒、荒宴等等。我从前告诉你们，现在又告诉你们，行这样事的人必不能承受神的国。
These vices are grouped into categories. First, there is sexual misconduct, sexual immorality, moral impurity, and lack of sexual self-control.
恶习被分为不同的类别，首先就是邪淫邪，包括淫乱、污秽和缺乏自我性控制。
Paul refers to the same three forms of misconduct in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 21, which indicates that Paul's choice of vices is not random, even if they occur in slightly different sequence.
保罗在哥林多后书二章二十一节指出了三个相同形式的不当的行为，这表明保罗的恶习选择不是随机的，即使他们发生在一个稍微不同的序列。
And the first two vices are also mentioned together in Colossians chapter 3 verse 5 and in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 3.
前两个恶习也在哥罗西书三章五节和以弗所书五章第三节提到。
Sexual immorality refers to adultery, illicit marriages, and especially prostitution.
淫乱是指通奸、非法婚姻、淫乱以及尤其是卖淫。
The English term pornography comes from pornea, sexual immorality.
英文的那个术语色情就来源于这个词。
The Galatians would merely think of prostitution, which is much more common in the ancient world.
加拉太人马上就会想到卖淫，这是在古代世界非常常见的。
And then there is religious misconduct, idolatry, sorcery, or witchcraft.
然后就是宗教的不当行为，偶像崇拜和巫术。
Religious cults in the ancient world often had a sexual component, and that could explain Paul's easy shift from sexual to religious misconduct here.
在古代的世界里，邪教组织的活动往往有一种性的成分在里面，这也就可以解释保罗从性到宗教的不当行为的用词的转变。
Pharmakia, from which we get our word pharmacy, refers to the use of magic or sorcery, which often involves the use of drugs.
巫术这个词 pharmakia, 我们从中得到的词是药店，它指的是使用魔法或巫术，常常涉及到使用的药物。
Then there are sources of community discord, hostile actions, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish actions, dissensions, factions, and acts of envy.
然后就是这个然后就是 社区不和谐的这些来源包括敌视、争竞、嫉妒、愤怒、自私、纠纷、派别、嫉妒等行为。
This list refers to various sources of conflict between people, and they all have destructive consequences for the life of the community.
这份清单是指人们之间的冲突的不同来源，他们都会对社会、对生活有破坏性的后果。
And finally, there is a problem dealing with excessive drinking, bouts of drunkenness, drunken orgies, and things like these.
下面呢就是饮酒过量，饮酒过量包括醉酒的较量、醉酒狂欢，诸如此类这样的事情。
Drunkenness and drunken orgies also occur together in Romans chapter 13, verse 13.
醉酒和荒宴也一起出现在罗马书第十三章第十三节。
Drunken orgies refers to the festival for the god of wine, where a lot of drinking and prostitution occur.
醉酒狂欢是指神在神的节日饮了很多酒后，有大量的酗酒和卖淫的行为发生。
Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 to 23 has, By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, humility, faithfulness, and self-control. There is no law against these kinds of things.
在加拉太书五章二十二到二十三节写道，圣灵所结的果子就是仁爱、喜乐、和平、忍耐、恩慈、良善、信实、温柔、节制，这样的事没有律法禁止。
We should not interpret this fruit as referring only to character qualities of the individual. Paul is primarily concerned with the way in which the Spirit's work is made manifest in the community.
我们不应该只是把这种圣灵的果子解释为个人的性格特征。保罗主要关心的是圣灵的工作体现在社区的方式。
Paul's striking phrase, the fruit of the Spirit, raises at least three closely related questions. One, why does Paul now refer to the works of the Spirit, activities or forms of behavior caused by the Spirit, just as he has referred to the works of the flesh? And two, why has he chosen the word fruit instead? And finally, why does he use the singular fruit rather than the plural fruits?
保罗强调的这个词语圣灵的果子至少提出了三个密切相关的问题。第一个问题就是为什么保罗不是指圣灵的工作而是有圣灵来的活动或者行为方式，因为他有肉体的工作。第二，为什么相反他选择了果子这个词呢？第三，为什么他用了单数的果子而不是复数的果子？
Burton gives helpful answers to all these questions. Paul probably avoided the word works in this connection because of this term's association with the works of the law.
伯顿给对这个三个问题给出了有所帮助的答案。保罗可能会避免工作这个词，因为这个词是与行律法这个词关联的。
He has chosen the word fruit instead in order to suggest that love, joy and peace and so forth are the natural products of a vital relation between the Christian and the Spirit.
他选择单数果子而不是复数，是为了表明仁爱、喜乐、平安等等都是基督徒和圣灵之间的重要的关系的天然产物。
And he uses the singular because he always uses the singular when using the word in a figurative sense. And because it serves to present all the experience and elements of character in the ensuing list as a unity, together constituted the result of living by the Spirit.
他使用单数，一是因为他在用比喻意义的词时总是使用单数，二是因为他服务于展示所有的经验和品格的元素在随后的列表作为一个统一体，共同构成靠圣灵生活的结果。
The singular fruit indicates that the first item in the list, love, agape, is the one fruit of the Spirit, with the other items to be construed as specifications or aspects of this love.
单数的果子表明，在列表中的第一项爱 agape 是圣灵的一种果实，也是圣灵的结果，与其他项一起解释为爱的规格或者其他的方面。
So Paul's writing, the fruit of the Spirit is love, which is accompanied or marked by joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, self-control.
圣灵所结的果子是爱，并伴随或标记着喜乐、和平、 忍耐、恩慈、良善、信实、谦卑、自我控制。
Galatians 22-23 can be understood as a shorthand to love, akin to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, perhaps as exemplified by Christ himself.
在第十二节到第二十三节可以理解为一个爱的简短的赞歌，类似的情况也出现在第十三节，也许就是见证耶稣基督自己的榜样。
Love in this context cannot be simply one item beside others, and the following concepts are only paraphrases of the love that does not insist on its own way.
在前后的背景下，爱不能只是简单的紧挨着其他项目的旁边的一项，下面的解释是爱的一个唯一的解释。
Paul has already singled out love in Galatians 5:13-14. Through love, be slaves of one another, and you will love your neighbor as yourself.
保罗已经把爱挑了出来，通过爱心做彼此的奴隶，你会爱你的邻舍如同自己。
Love apparently stands in a class by itself, the source from which all the rest flow.
爱显然自己就占了一项，这是其他各项的源头。
Like the works of the flesh in Galatians 5:19-21, love as a singular fruit of the Spirit is an activity.
就像19节到21节讲的肉体的工作，爱作为圣灵的单数的果实是一种活动。
Love is loving as it is in Galatians 5:13-14 shows.
爱就是爱，就正如十三节到十四节所说的。
The remaining items in the list are not activities, however. They describe the circumstances, joy, peace, the dispositions, patience, kindness, goodness, and character traits, faithfulness, humility, self-control, accompany love. The love that occurs as the singular fruit of the Spirit's presence.
然而在这个列表当中，其余的项目都不是活动，他们所描述的是一种情况，像喜乐、平安，或者一种性情，忍耐、恩慈、良善，和一种性格特征，诚实、谦虚和自我控制，这些都是伴随爱所发生的。
First, there's love and its accompanying circumstances. Love, agape, joy, chara, peace, irene.
圣灵的存在的是单一的一个果实，按爱与之配套的一些情况是爱、喜乐、平安。
Paul uses the three terms frequently elsewhere, and they seem important for him.
保罗也经常在其他地方用这三个词，你们看，这看起来对他非常重要。
This is especially true, as we have just seen, with respect to agape, love, which occurs often.
这尤其是如此，就如我们刚才看见的有关爱，经常出现。
Except for the Johannine literature, the term love is surprisingly rare in the rest of the remainder of the New Testament.
爱这个词在新约前书其他的地方的出现就非常罕见。
Love plays its special role in this whole list.
爱在这个整个的这几个词的列表中有特殊的作用。
Love as loving action is the singular fruit of the Spirit, with the remaining virtues describing the socially discernible and relevant circumstances, dispositions, and character traits that accompany love.
爱就是爱的行动，是圣灵的单一的果实，其余的美德描述了明显的社会和有关伴随爱的一些情况、性情和性格特征。
Love as the fruit of the Spirit seems difficult to square logically with Paul's exhortation in this passage, especially one in Galatians 5:13. Through love, be slaves of one another.
爱作为圣灵的果实，似乎很难与保罗的劝勉在这一段更合乎逻辑的表示，尤其是在第十三节，通过爱心彼此成为奴隶。
Is love something the Galatians must decide to do, or is it the natural outcome of the Spirit's presence?
爱是加拉太人必须决定做的事情，还是圣灵存在的必然结果？
The answer is probably that the Spirit creates the condition, freedom from the law, from sin, from the elements of the world, in which truly responsible loving action can in fact take place.
答案很可能是圣灵创造了条件，比如脱离律法、罪和属世的自由，其中真正负责的爱的行动可以真实的发生。
The term joy is also one that occurs frequently in Paul's letters.
喜乐这个词也经常出现在保罗的书信里。
Paul has referred to peace earlier in Galatians in the salutation.
保罗在加拉太书最早提到平安是在第一章第三节的问安里面。
There it is said to come from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and is closely linked to grace, and points to the eschatological well-being that accompanies the gospel.
在那里提到的是从父神与我们的主耶稣基督所来，是与恩典密切相关的。并指向末世的福祉，伴随着福音。
It is the opposite of the situation in 5:15.
在五章第十五节的情况正好相反。
Joy and peace are also juxtaposed in Romans, where they together characterize the kingdom of God and believing.
在罗马书里面，喜乐和平安也是并列的。他们一起是神的国度和信仰的特征。
Here joy and peace accompany and characterizes the mutual love that is the result of the Spirit's presence and work.
在这里，喜乐和平安与彼此相爱在一起，是彼此相爱的特征，是圣灵的存在和工作的结果。
Then there are dispositions that accompany love, patience, kindness,Humility.
伴随的爱的性情还有忍耐、善良、谦卑。
These terms occur rarely outside the Pauline letters in the New Testament, and not at all in the Gospels.
这些词语在新约中的保罗书信之外很少出现，在四福音书中根本就没有出现。
And they imply persistence, steadfastness, and forbearance toward others.
忍耐意味着持久性、坚定性和对他人的忍让。
The Greek word protes, can mean gentleness, but it also can mean meekness or humility.It's defined as the quality of not being overly impressed by a sense of one's own importance.
这个希腊词 protes 这个词可以翻译成温柔或者谦卑。谦卑的特征是不要过度的认为自己非常重要，要给别人留下深刻的印象。
Its significance for Paul is discernible in chapter 6, verse 1.
对保罗的意义在第六章和第六章第一节中很明显的表现出来。
Humility and faithfulness are two virtues mentioned together in Sirach, who describes faithfulness and humility as God's special delight, and claims that God chose Moses out of all humankind for his faithfulness and humility.
谦卑和诚实是两种美德，被希拉奇一起提到。他描述了诚实和谦卑作为上帝的特殊的喜悦，并声称上帝从全人类中拣选出摩西，就是因为他的忠诚和谦卑。
Paul may thus be relying on a traditional juxtaposition in his choice of these two virtues.
保罗把这选择两种传统美德相提并论，即使大多数的翻译是翻译成温柔。
Even though most translations have gentleness, following the King James Version, in the light of the definition of the major Greek English lexicon, the translation humility is much, much better.
在那个英文，就在英王钦定版本的那个圣经里面翻译成温柔，但在主要的希腊英文字典里定义的翻译为谦卑，我觉得谦卑的翻译要好得多。
A man tells of visiting a college which had for its students protection security call boxes every few hundred feet.
一个男子告诉来访一所大学的人们，大学有保护学生的措施，安全电话亭每隔几百尺就有一个。
If you were wandering around the campus at night and felt uneasy about somebody following you, you could hit the button on that call box and have a security officer come investigate immediately.
如果你一个人晚上在校园里游荡，感到不安，或者觉得有人跟踪你，你可以按电话框里面的按钮，这样保安人员就会立即过来展开调查。
On one of these phones hung a sign that said, out of order.
在这些电话中有一个电话上面挂着一个牌子，上面写着坏了。
Underneath the out of order sign, someone had scrawled, keep running.
坏了这个牌子下面有人潦草地写着继续运行。
To me, that is a metaphor of how many people live their lives today. They can't find any security or real peace.So they just keep on running.
对我来说，这个比喻是许多人今天如何过自己生活的写照。他们无法找到任何安全或真正的平安，所以他们只好继续运行。
It was the evening of the first Easter Sunday.
我下面讲一个第一个复活节的周日的那天晚上的事情。
Early that morning, Peter and John had been to the tomb.
那天早上，彼得和约翰一起到了坟墓。
They had discovered that it was empty.
他们发现里面是空的。
They saw the strips of linen as well as the cloths that had been wrapped around Jesus' head.
他们看到了亚麻布条以及裹在耶稣头上的布。
The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen.
布从亚麻布条中分离出来。仍然在他们的位置。
It was a puzzling mystery.
这是一个令人费解的谜。
They knew something important had happened, but they were not sure what.
他们知道一些事情，重要的事情发生了，但是他们不肯定到底是什么事情发生。
So they returned to the house where they were staying.
于是他们回到了自己所住的房子。
Mary, however, stayed behind.
但是玛利亚跟在后面。
And she had a somewhat mystical experience.
她曾经有一些神秘的经历。
Weeping, she bent over once more to look into the tomb. And she saw what appeared to be two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot.
玛利亚哭泣着，又一次弯腰进入坟墓中。她似乎看见了两个穿着白衣的天使。坐在耶稣的身体曾经在的地方，一个在头，一个在脚。
Then immediately afterward, she had an encounter with a stranger that, in her grief, she mistook for a gardener.
然后她看到了一个陌生人，由于她的悲痛，她误以为是个园丁。
Then he called her name, and she discovered it wasn't the gardener at all.
然后他就叫玛利亚的名字，他才发现那不是园丁。
It was a master risen from the grave.
这是从坟墓中复活的主。
She ran back to tell Peter and John and the other disciples about her experience.
他赶紧跑回来，告诉彼得、约翰和其他门徒他所看见的。
That evening, the disciples were still processing all this.
那天晚上。门徒们仍然在处理这一切。
John tells us they were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders.
约翰福音告诉我们，他们在一起用锁把门都锁上了，因为他们惧怕犹太人的领袖们来。
That's interesting. We make a big deal about Easter Sunday morning. But Easter Sunday evening, the disciples were still cowering in fear.
很有意思。我们认为星期天复活节早上发生了很大的事情，但是在周日复活节的晚上，门徒们仍然蜷缩在恐惧当中。
Obviously, some questions still remain.
很显然，有一些问题存在着。
So the tomb was empty. But what did that prove?
那么坟墓是空的，但是那能够证明什么呢？
Maybe somebody did steal his body.
也许有人偷走了他的尸体。
Okay, Mary had her mystical experience in the garden.
Okay.玛利亚在花园里有她的神秘的经历。
But after all, she was a woman.
但是毕竟她是一个女人。
You know how emotional they can be.
大家都知道女人们都会情绪波动。
Maybe she just imagined this experience.
也许她只是想象出来这个经历。
After all, she loved him so much.
毕竟她是那么的爱主。
Everything she was, she owed to him.
她所有的一切都是主的。
So there they were, these followers of Jesus, behind those locked doors, speaking in whispers, confused, frightened, like sheep without a shepherd.
于是他们就在那里，这些耶稣的追随者们在上了锁的门里面悄悄地说着话，困惑、恐惧，如同羊没有牧羊人一般。
Then says our lesson for today. Jesus came and stood among them and said,Peace be with you.
然后就是我们今天讲到的这个主题，耶稣来了，站在他们中间，说：“愿你们平安。”
After he said this, he showed them his hand and his side.
他说了这话以后，又向他们展示了他的手和他的侧面。
Then John adds these words: The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
那时，约翰又补充说了这些话。当门徒们看见主，他们就喜出望外。
This, as broadcaster Paul Harvey used to say, is the rest of the story.
对此，作为广播员的保罗·哈维尔曾经说过，这是故事的其余的部分。
Jesus stood in the midst of them.
耶稣站在他们中间。
He spoke to them, "Peace be with you."
他对他们说，愿你们平安。
Then he showed them his hands and his side.
然后他向他们展示了他的手和他的侧面。
There was no longer any doubt.
他们不再有任何疑问。
This was their master, risen from the grave, and they were overjoyed.
这就是他们的主，从坟墓里复活，而且他们喜出望外。
If the gospel had concluded on Easter Sunday morning with the empty tomb,In the appearance of the stranger to Mary, there might be some questions about the validity of the resurrection.
如果福音已经结束于在复活节星期天早上的空坟墓，以及陌生人出现在玛利亚面前，有可能就会有关复活的有效性的一些问题。
It is Easter Sunday evening that clinches the deal.
这是复活节周日晚上发生的事情，成为了板上钉钉的事情。
It is the joy the disciples experienced behind those locked doors. Doors bolted with fear and doubt and misgivings. It is that joy that quiets our doubts, our fears, and our misgivings.
这就是门徒们在上锁的门后面所经历的喜悦。门用恐惧、怀疑和疑虑上了栓。但是那喜悦平静了我们的疑惑、我们的恐惧和我们的疑虑。毫无疑问，他还活着。
There was no question, he is alive, just as he said.
就像他说的，他还活着。
Let's deal with this beautiful story this morning and apply this experience to our lives.
让我们来看一下今天上午这个美丽的故事，并把这些经验应用在我们的生活当中。
Let's begin with those locked doors.
让我们从那些上了锁的门开始。
Why were they locked?
为什么要上锁？
Out of fear, of course.
当然是出于恐惧。
Jesus had been put to death by his enemies.
耶稣被他的敌人处死了。
Would they now turn their hatred toward his followers?
这些人会把他们的仇恨转移到他的追随者身上吗？
It was a reasonable question.
这是一个很合理的问题。
There's a story about a couple who were vacationing in Yosemite National Park.
有一个故事是关于一对夫妇在约塞米蒂国家公园度假的故事。
The wife expressed her concern about camping because of bears and said that she would feel more comfortable in the motel.
妻子表达了野营时对熊的恐惧，她表示她宁愿住在舒适的汽车旅馆里。
The husband said that he'd like to camp, but to calm her concern, they would talk to the park rangers to see what the likelihood of a bear encounter would be.
先生说他很想露营，但是为了平息妻子的顾虑，他说他会找护林员谈一谈，看看与熊相遇的可能性。
The ranger told them, "Well, we haven't seen any grizzly in this area so far this year, or black bears for that matter."
护林员告诉他们，我们到今年目前为止还没有看到任何灰熊或者是黑熊在这里活动。
The wife shrieked.There are two types of bears out here.
太太尖叫起来，有两种类型的熊在这里出现。
How can you tell the difference?
你们怎么分辨出它们来？
And which one is more dangerous?
哪一种更危险？
The ranger replied, Well, that's easy. If the bear chases you up the tree and it comes up after you, it's a black bear.
护林员回答说，这很容易分辨。如果熊追你追上了树，而且它也爬上了树，这一定是个黑熊。
If it shakes the tree until you fall out, it's a grizzly.
如果熊摇树，直到把人摇得掉下来，这一定是个灰熊。
The wife decided that the motel room will work out quite nicely.
这个妻子决定还是住在汽车旅馆的房间里会更好。
I suspect that many of you.Think her reaction was quite reasonable.
我猜想你们中间很多人会觉得她的反应是相当合理的。
Even though bears attacks don't happen very often, just the thought is quite scary.
虽然熊袭击不经常发生，但是只是想一想就是相当可怕的。
She might miss some of the thrill of being closer to nature, but we can understand her reaction.
她有可能会错过一些接近大自然的快感。但是我们可以理解他的反应。
Fear is quite debilitating.
恐惧是很伤人的元气的。
Fear keeps us from living our lives openly and joyfully.
恐惧让我们不能开放的和高兴的过我们的生活。
It keeps us running when our real need is to rest and to relax.
恐惧让我们一直在运行，而我们实际所需要的是休息和放松。
Some of you may remember the name W. Edwards Deming.
你们当中有些人可能会记得爱德华兹·戴明这个名字。
Back when the total quality movement was the rage in business, Deming was its key guru.
当全面质量管理运动在商业上风靡一时的时候，戴明是这场运动中的一个关键的人物。
He is often called the father of total quality management.
他通常被称为全面质量管理之父。
Deming said that one of his 14 keys to building a high performance organization was to drive out fear.
戴明说，他的关于建立一个高效的机构组织的14个关键方法当中，有一个方法就是驱除恐惧。
In the absence of fears, people tend to perform and produce at a high rate level.
在没有恐惧的时候，人们往往能够有较高水平的表现和产出。
That's interesting, don't you think?
这是很有趣的，不是吗？
In the absence of fear, people perform better.
在没有恐惧的时候，人们表现的会更好。
We have noted before how often biblical characters are told, "Don't be afraid."
我们注意到以前圣经人物是如何经常被告知不要害怕。
In Luke's telling of the same story, the disciples are terrified when Jesus suddenly appears in their midst.
在路加福音里面也讲了同样的故事，当耶稣突然出现在他们中间，门徒们都吓坏了。
They think he is a ghost.
他们认为他是一个鬼魂。
And no wonder he has to say to them, "Peace be with you."
难怪耶稣要对他们说，愿你们平安。
That is what peace is, the absence of fear, or at least it is fear under control.
这就是平安的意思，没有恐惧，或者至少说是能够控制的恐惧。
As long as we are in this world, there will be things to fear.
只要我们生活在这个世界上，总会有很多的事情要担心。
That's part of the human condition.
这是人类生存的条件之一。
But Christ helps us to keep our fears under control.
但是基督帮助我们，使我们的恐惧得到控制。
Christ helps us delay reasonable fears from unreasonable fears.
基督帮助我们描绘出从不合理的恐惧过渡到合理的担忧。
It is fear that causes us to resent other people, that causes us to lash out in anger and envy.
是恐惧让我们与其他的人争斗，使我们发出愤怒和嫉妒。
If we could keep our fears under control, we would live more Christ-like lives.
如果我们能够使我们的恐惧得到控制，我们会生活得更像基督一些。
The disciples were behind locked doors, out of fear from Jesus' enemies.
门徒们躲在锁着的门后面，他们的恐惧来自耶稣的敌人。
Jesus appears in the midst of them and says, "Peace be with you."
耶稣出现在他们中间，说：“愿你们平安。”
Peace be with you.
愿你们平安。
That was a common greeting, and probably one he has spoken to them many times.
这是一个非常常见的问候语，大概耶稣对他们说了很多次了。
But in this situation, it was more than a greeting.
但是在这种情况下，它不只是一个问候语。
It was a message that they needed to hear.
这是他们所需要听到的信息。
Jesus means for his followers to have peace.
耶稣的意思是他的追随者们有平安。
That is the first thing we need to see.
这是我们要看到的第一件事情。
As the popular preacher Adam Hamilton has said, the resurrected Jesus didn't promise wealth or health or prosperity or power. What he promised was peace.
广受欢迎的传道人亚当·汉密尔顿曾经说过，复活的耶稣并没有应许我们财富、健康、繁荣或者权力，但他应许了平安。
I have known some Christians who have anything but peace.
我认识一些基督徒，他们可能什么都没有，但是他们拥有平安。
It is said that during World War II, in the cinemas of Cardiff, a notice would sometimes appear on the screen, interrupting the films. An air raid has sounded. Be British. Don't panic.
据说在二次世界大战期间，在卡尔蒂夫的电影院里面，经常会出现这样的情况，有通知中断正在上演的电影，出现在电影屏幕上。空袭已经吹响，做一个真正的英国人。不要慌。
That's great, isn't it?
真是太妙了，不是吗？
So very British.
非常有英国味儿。
Be British, don't panic.
做一个真正的英国人，不要慌。
A similar admonition ought to characterize followers of Jesus. Be Christians, don't panic.
类似的训诫应该成为我们耶稣的信徒的那个特征，做一个真正的基督徒，不要慌。
How do we find peace of mind?
我们如何找到内心的平安呢？
Some of you may be familiar with a study Duke University did on this very subject years ago.
你们中的有些人可能会很熟悉多年前杜克大学对此做的一个研究。
They listed 8 keys to emotional and mental stability.
他们罗列了八个保持情绪和精神稳定的关键。
I find them quite helpful.
我觉得非常有帮助。
The first key is get rid of suspicion and resentment.
第一个关键就是摆脱怀疑和怨恨。
Nursing a grudge is a major factor in unhappiness.
斗气是不快乐的主要因素。
The second is, don't live in the past.
第二个就是不要生活在过去。
An unwholesome preoccupation with all mistakes and failures leads to depression.
一个不健康的于过去的错误和总是关注于过去的错误或失败会导致抑郁症。
The third key is, don't waste time and energy fighting conditions you cannot change.
第三个关键是不要浪费时间和精力想去改变你不能改变的条件。
So cooperate with life instead of trying to run away from it.
与生活合作而不是试图逃避它。
The fourth is,Force yourself to stay involved with the living world.
第四是强迫自己继续参与世界的生活。
Resist the temptation to withdraw and become reclusive during periods of emotional stress.
抵制这种退出的诱惑，在情绪紧张的时期做到深入简出。
The fifth is, refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal.
第五个就是当生活给了你不公正的待遇要拒绝沉浸在自怜的状态中。
The sixth is cultivate the old-fashioned virtues, love, humor, compassion, and loyalty.
第六个就是培养老式的美德比如爱、幽默、热情和忠诚。
And number seven is do not expect too much of yourself.
第七就是不要对自己期望太多。
When there is too wide a gap between self-expectation and your ability to meet the goals you have set, feelings of inadequacy are inevitable.
当自我期望和满足自己所设定的目标的能力之间有很大差距的时候，自责是不可避免的。
And finally, number eight is, find something bigger than yourself to believe in.
第八就是寻找相信一些能够超越自己的信仰。
Self-centered, egotistical people score lowest in any test of measuring happiness.
总是自我中心的人在任何的幸福测试中总是得分最低的。
Peace within would seem to be a no-brainer for followers of Jesus.
内心的平安对于耶稣的追随者似乎是一个没脑子的说法。
Find something bigger than yourself to believe in.
寻找相信一些能够超越自己的信仰。
That is the ultimate key to peace of mind.
这是内心平安的最终关键。
On December 26, 1944, Japanese intelligence officer Hiro Onoda arrived on Luban Island in the Philippines.
在1944年12月26日，日本的情报官小野田广伟赶到了菲律宾的卢邦岛。
Onada's orders were simple.
小野田的命令很简单。
He and his men were to stop the enemy from securing the island.
他和他的士兵们要阻止敌人，确保不让敌人占领这个岛屿。
But before this Japanese military unit could destroy the airstrip and blow up the pier, American forces captured Luban Island.
在此之前，日本的军事单位可能会破坏飞机跑道并炸毁桥墩，但是。美军还是占领了卢邦岛。
They were still hiding a year later.
小野田和其他三名士兵跑到了山里躲起来。一年后，他们还在躲藏。
Onada discovered a leaflet that read, "The war ended on August 15th. Come down from the mountain."
小野田发现了一张传单，上面写着，战争在8月15日结束了，从山上下来吧。
Onada refused.
小野田拒绝了。
His orders were clear. Under no circumstance was he to surrender.
他的命令是非常明确的，在任何情况下他都不能投降。
Unable to reach his superiors, Onada and his men burrowed deeper into the hills.
无法联系到他的上司们，小野田和他的手下挖了地道，一直通到了山上。
Five years later, in 1949. One of the men surrendered to Filipino forces.
五年以后，在1949年，其中的一个士兵向菲律宾部队投降了。
A few years after that, an aircraft dropped letters and pictures from Onado's family, urging him to come down.
几年之后，有一架飞机扔下了小野田的家人的信件和图片，敦促他下来，他还是拒绝了。
In 1954, members of a search party accidentally killed one of Onado's men.
在1954年，搜索的人员失手杀死了小野田的一个部下。
20 years later, local police mistakenly shot the last of his comrades.
在20年之后，当地的警方误射死了他的最后的战友。
Not only Onado remained alone and forgotten, fighting a war that he had already lost.
现在只有小野田一个人依然在孤独的被遗忘的在打那场已经失败的战争。
On March 9th, 1974, 30 years after he first went to hiding, Onado emerged from the jungle.
在1974年3月9日，在他躲藏了30年以后，小野田从丛林中出现了。
He surrendered his uniform, his sword, rifle, hand grenades, and 500 rounds of ammunition.
他交出了他的制服、剑、枪、手榴弹和500发子弹。
He had already surrendered 30 years of his life to isolation and fear.
他也交出了他30年的生活，这30年他一直生活在隔离和恐惧当中。
What a tragic waste.
多么悲惨的浪费。
But so it is with all who live as slaves of fear.
这种浪费也同样发生在生活的像恐惧的奴隶的身上。
Jesus means for his followers to have peace.
耶稣的意思是他的追随者有平安。
This brings us to the second thing we need to see. Our greatest need is peace.
这给我们带来了我们需要看到的第二个事情，我们最需要的是平安。
A number of years ago, a major American magazine published the results of a most fascinating survey.
许多年以前，一家美国主要的杂志上发表了一个最有趣的调查结果。
The editors had asked 16 prominent Americans what they did in order to find peace of mind in the midst of our stressful world.
编辑曾问16个杰出的美国人，当他们在紧张的世界当中，为了找到内心平安，将如何做？他们的反应是相当发人深省的。
Noted author James Michener reported that he found peace of mind by walking his two dogs alone along deserted country roads, old streams and fields that he had not been plowed for half a century.
著名的作家詹姆斯·米切纳报告说，他发现内心平安的方法是沿着一条冷清的乡村道、古老的溪流和半个世纪没有犁过的田野，遛他的两条狗。
Barry Goldwater, whom some of you may remember as a former Republican candidate for president, said that he found peace of mind in his hobbies, boating, photography, and flying.
巴里·戈德华特，你们当中有的人可能会记得，他是前共和党总统的候选人。他说，他发现他内心平安的方法是在他的爱好当中，比如划船、摄影和飞行。
He especially found peace of mind by taking reflective walks in the Grand Canyon.
他特别是在能够在大峡谷散步的时候找到平安的感觉。
Walter Cronkite, the former CBS anchorman, said.That he preferred solitude, usually by going to sea in a small boat.
沃尔特·克朗凯特，他是前哥伦比亚广播公司的主播。他说，他找到平安的方法是喜欢独处，通常是乘小船出海。
And the late Sammy Davis Jr. listed looking for the best in others as a way to find peace of mind.
小萨米·戴维斯列出了他。发现内心平安的一个方式就是找到其他人的优点。
Toward the end of World War II, Harry S. Truman, who was then president, was asked how he was able to keep his cool under the pressures of his office.
在二战的末期，哈里·杜鲁门，他后来成为了美国的总统，被问到他是如何能够在办公室的压力下保持冷静的。
He said that he had a foxhole in his mind. And then just as in combat, the infantryman can scramble into his foxhole to take cover. He relied on his mental foxhole in times of stress.
他说，在他的心中有一个伞兵坑，就像在战斗中，步兵可以藏在他们的伞兵坑里面，躲避枪林弹雨。他在压力大的时候，也会依赖于精神上的伞兵坑。
The philosopher Marcus Aurelius shared his conviction, shared this conviction.
哲学家马可·奥勒分享了他的信念。
He believed devoutly that a human being needed the capacity to retreat within himself to acquire peace of mind and inner renewal.
他虔诚地相信人类需要一种能力，一个就是退缩在自己里面，得到平和的心态和内心重建的能力。
How do you find peace of mind?
那么你是如何找到内心平安的？
If you are smart, you will find peace in the presence of the risen Christ.
如果你够聪明，你就会发现平安存在于复活的耶稣基督里面。
That is the only place where true peace is available.
这是平安的真正的唯一去处。
Barry Cope tells about a trip to an amusement park that he and his wife took with their son Matthew when Matthew was quite small.
巴里克伯讲述了他和妻子带着儿子马修去游乐场的一次旅行，当时马修还相当小。
After riding several kiddie rides, Matthew wanted to try the rocket ride, which was quite scary.
做了几次儿童的游乐项目后，马修想尝试坐火箭。这是很吓人的。
Sitting in the seat, Barry tucked Matthew safely between his knees, and off they went.
坐在这个座椅里面，巴里把马修 Matthew 安全地夹在双膝之间，然后这个火箭就开始旋转了。
As his rocket twirled through the sky, Matthew whimpered a little and said, "Hold me, Daddy."
当火箭在天空中飞旋的时候，马修哽咽了一点，说。爸爸抱紧我。
Once he leaned against his father's arm, he relaxed, and even wanted to ride the rocket again.
一旦他靠在父亲的怀里，他就轻松了，甚至想再次乘坐火箭。
After that experience, says Barry, whenever he himself faced something new and frightening in his life, he found himself whispering to his heavenly father, "Please hold me," just as his son has asked his dad to hold him.
在这次体验之后，巴里说，在他的生活中，每当他自己面对一些新的令人恐惧的事情的时候，他发现自己在对天父哭泣，并对天父说，请抱紧我。
Barry reports as soon as he became aware of God's presence, he could relax and even began to enjoy himself.
巴里报告说，当他意识到上帝的存在，就像他的儿子让爸爸紧紧抱住他。他就可以放松，甚至可以享受自己。
That is the true secret of peace within.
这就是内心平安的真正的秘密。
Isn't it time for you to quit running?
现在是你该退出运行状态的时候了。
Isn't it time for you to nestle yourself in the arms of your heavenly Father?
现在是你依偎在天父的怀里的时候的了。
Jesus stood in the midst of his disciples and said, "Peace be with you."
耶稣站在他的门徒当中说，愿你们平安。
Jesus wants his followers to have peace.
耶稣要他的追随者们有平安。
Peace comes when we lean on the arms of our heavenly Father.
平安是我们最大的需要，每当我们依靠我们的天父的时候。
Jesus says to each of us this day, "Peace be with you."
耶稣在复活节的这一天对我们每个人说，愿你们平安。
Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.
基督复活了，基督已经复活了，确实如此。